And welcome to Superman's Other Pals, a podcast where I discuss the Silver Age comic book, Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen. By the way, my name is Gary Rowland. And I discuss one issue per episode with my daughter,
Ella Plum Rowland.
And we sort of go through it and figure out what's going on, and we look at the stories.
And laugh at how stupid the 1950s people were.
We look at the stories, we look at the ads. And we
marvel at how cheap everything was.
We just sort of take a trip back and shake our heads a lot.
But of course you can't see that because this is an audio format.
Right, but you can feel it. So
you can also apparently feel me rolling my eyes at my dad whenever he does the silly voice.
So how are you, Ella Plum? Is everything all right?
Everything is okay, I guess. Yeah.
My daughter is wearing her Ravenclaw bathrobe for some reason.
Because it's cold and my bathrobe is fuzzy.
All right.
Actual clothes and then a bathrobe instead of like a jacket or something.
You know what you're like? What? You're like Jimmy Olsen at home.
No, this isn't a floor length red velvet tailored robe.
Yeah, but it might as well be. I mean, essentially that is the equivalent of a smoking jacket.
But it's so fuzzy.
So are smoking jackets.
Are they?
Oh, you have to look at it online. You have to look online and see like what smoking jackets look like.
Well, I don't think smoking jackets have the Ravenclaw crest on them.
But they would. If they made them today, there would be Ravenclaw crest smoking jackets. And don't forget, we have Etsy. So odds are, if you go on Etsy, somebody, somewhere, and I'm sure if I ask somebody in our listening audience, maybe, they will be able to provide some kind of link to a smoking jacket with a Ravenclaw. Because that's like totally like something like a wizard would like settle down in the evening with their Ravenclaw smoking jacket and smoke a pipe. But that's getting off the story.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're going to go. This issue is issue 16 of Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen, featuring the Boy of Steel. Now, above the title,
we still have the, what's it called, contest.
Right. Giant 5,000 prize contest. Now, you know, Ella Plum, I've been giving it some thought.
Dad, this contest is over.
No. I have been wondering if maybe we should do, like, we should repeat this contest and not give away 5,000 prizes.
But yeah, that's a bit expensive.
Give away, like, a Jimmy Olsen themed prize. Maybe a bow tie or some kind of other.
Or a green plaid blazer.
I'm thinking more of a bow tie. Yeah. I'm not sure.
A ridiculously colored bow tie and a stupid disguise kit.
Maybe by next week I will have.
Oh, like a cheesy disguise kit would be kind of funny.
Maybe by next week I will have figured out all the details.
All right.
Of the actual contest. Do you think that's something we should try?
We could try it. We could do that.
Okay. So next week when you tune in, as I'm sure many of you may. Now this will I will say that we will actually suspend our rule about sending things to us illuminated. All you have to do is send it to us in an email.
Okay.
Emails
are good.
So in the first issue, as we said, there was a banner that says that the
5,000 prize contest.
And this is for a slogan for DC Comics.
Yes.
Right.
And I can't come up with any.
All right. I can come up with five.
Maybe
one of them is good. Maybe.
Maybe.
So underneath, we have Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen. And one, we have a picture of Superman flying to Jimmy Olsen. And a cornice has fallen off a building. How do we know that a cornice is falling off a building?
Because someone says, watch out for that falling cornice.
Exactly. Making it very clear exactly what this guy is being, what Jimmy's being hit in the head with.
Because this robot is trained to destroy your cameras.
Exactly. No. Smash.
Smash.
This robot is trained to smash your camera. So a guy's going, look out for that falling cornice! And Superman's about to swoop down, but I guess Supes is losing his touch, and Jimmy gets hit in the head with it, and he just says, don't worry, Superman. You don't have to rescue me anymore. I'm invulnerable.
Okay, it doesn't say invulnerable, that's just Dad.
It says, I'm invulnerable.
I'm invulnerable.
That's what I said.
Definitely.
All right. So,
Superman's cape is bothering me because the S isn't filled in, so it's just like an all white, not all white, all yellow with the outline of an S, but no, like.
So, it is like flapping in a weird way. It seems like maybe, I think this is still Kurt Swan. Oh no, now I'm going to have to look it up.
It seems like maybe Kurt Swan lost his mind. I don't know how you're going to finish that sentence.
No. I was going to just say, it seemed like maybe that was a rush job. that Kurt Swan had. Yep, he's still the ink.
So then I guess it was a rush job.
Yeah, I guess he was pressing, and you know, it's just Jimmy Olsen.
The least best-selling comic book.
Maybe, I don't know. At this point, maybe it is a huge selling book. I don't really have those numbers, but anyway, so that's our cover, and so we go to the inside cover, and on the inside cover, we have back here
the bodybuilder ad.
A bodybuilder ad where you get five
books.
Courses in book form for a mighty chest, mighty arm, mighty back, mighty grip, mighty legs. That's a lot of mighty.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a last chance all free coupon. But who knows why? There's a lot of fonts.
There are definitely a lot of fonts.
There's a lot of fonts going on.
And a lot of sizes of fonts.
A lot of copy and a lot of photos cut out.
Yep.
And a couple of guys in Speedo. And it develops your 520 muscles, gain pounds, in inches fast. I can gain pounds in inches, but it would involve a lot of ice cream. And I'm not sure that anything at the end would be mighty. I don't think, maybe I'll send away for this stuff. I think it's available on Hulu now.
Of course. All right,
so that's the inside cover. Brings us to our first story. Would you like to read the first story? Would you like to read the intro?
Are you going to do that weird introduction thing you always do?
What's that? I know you always refer to this thing, and I just don't understand what you mean.
Sure.
You want to read it?
Sure.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Zoom in.
Can I zoom in?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next, now, my daughter, Ella Plum Rowland.
Is zoom in not the right word?
I don't know, maybe it's the right word. Can you read that?
Yes, I can read that.
My daughter, Ella Plum Rowland, coming up to the microphone now to read for everyone the intro to the first story. So just sit back and relax as Ella Plum Rowland reads the story. I'm sorry, I just coughed. Go ahead. See, it's contagious.
Do you believe in reincarnation? Did you live in the past? The thought never occurred to Superman's young pal until he met a strange Swami who enabled him to seemingly relive previous existences in the three lives of Jimmy Olsen.
Right. Now, this is a particular moment in time when, you know, we all now know about the idea of past lives, and I'm sure that's probably like the kind of thing that was very popular to hear about in like Victorian England in Ceylon.
Yeah.
But at this point, we don't really believe very much in this sort of thing.
Past lives.
And you know, some people do believe in it, but...
Or at the very least, machines that allow you to see your past lives.
Exactly. Like, you know, you don't necessarily need a machine to teach. You should be able to go into a trance of some kind and be able to get into it. So in our first panel, we see a guy with what looks like one of those like Prince Valiant haircuts.
I don't know what that is.
That's this kind of haircut.
So like a bob with weirdly cut bangs and a headband?
Correct. A severely framed bob would be what it is.
Okay.
With a guy who's pushing apart a temple, you know, like Samson. Are you familiar with the story of Samson?
Vaguely.
That's all you really need to be, because I think they are only vaguely framed. They're only vaguely remembering it as well. So it's in his thought, and it says like, "Wreck that evil temple for me, Samson." And Jimmy Olsen has this weird helmet on, and he's thinking, "Today Superman's helped me, but in ancient Egypt it was Samson, super duper." So apparently, it would seem that Jimmy Olsen has been being bailed out by some superpowered hero for thousands of years.
Yeah, for money.
So we open up, and Jimmy and Daily Planet, I'm not exactly sure
why they're storing uranium.
Why this is, but Jimmy Olsen and Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper, are putting away a large container of radium.
Radium. It wasn't uranium. It was radium.
That has been given to them to hang on to. Like, the Daily Planet was like, here, just hang on to this radium, and this is worth...
That's not...
$25,000.
A good idea.
And the Daily Planet has been asked to distribute all of this radium to hospitals.
Okay.
Because I guess that was something that newspapers did at the time, was that they just...
Or they just figured that children don't know anything.
Right. And it was given to us, of course, by the Radium Institute.
You know, that probably was a thing at some point.
Right. But you would figure that the Radium Institute would have some goddamn way to figure out how to give the radium out to people.
Without having to use the newspaper as a supply source.
Exactly. Or just like put out a sign and say, hey.
Free radium.
Do you need radium? Ask us about it. And they'd have you fill out a form, and if they thought that it was worthy, they'd give you the radium.
Yep.
Or I'm sure they'd sell the radium to you. But anyway.
So Jimmy and Clark Kent are walking out of the Daily Planet, and Clark Kent has to go a different way, and so...
Wait. First he says, well, I'm chill checking which hospitals need that radium, because apparently they don't even know what hospitals need it.
It's but not anyway, good.
But anyway, so Jimmy's like, okay, Clark, you do that. I'm going to go on my way, and I'm not going to get in any adventures.
And so
I'll tell you that.
This dude,
so then he runs
in a
into
purple
a
suit and a blue turban with skin that is the same color as the orange background behind him.
Now, this is one of the few examples of, minorities. We haven't seen really an example of minorities in a Jimmy Olsen comic since the ill,
Let's not.
The ill-conceived Let's Native not. American issue that we don't really want to talk about.
Yeah, no.
So this guy is, I guess they want to call him a swami.
That's what they're going with.
Which is, of course, a horribly terrible term to, Anyway, so he says, oh, maybe we've met in another life. And Jimmy's like, that's ridiculous. Nobody says, ha ha, who believes in reincarnation? It's like, oh, only most of the Eastern world. So, who's the guy? Did they say who the guy is?
Swami Rama.
So, okay, so Swami Rama.
They couldn't choose a good name.
So, Swami Rama is there, and he's like, hey, I have this machine.
I have a magical machine.
And it'll tell you.
And you will remember your past lives.
But you gotta come over. I'll give it to you. It'll be for free. And then, of course, Jimmy goes, of course, since it's free.
Dude, you can tell so many people anything is free, and they'll be like, yeah, I totally want that.
Immediately. So they take him to Swami Rama's studio.
Here, have this free guillotine.
Where he's like, here, I have this reincarnation machine. Now, here, put on this helmet, and I'll bring back any of your past lives. And then Jimmy, of course, jokes, oh, maybe I was once Napoleon. Ha ha. Because at the time, that's always like a big like mental illness issue.
Napoleon complex?
Well, it's because there was this thing called a Napoleonic complex, but people took it to mean that this guy thinks he's Napoleon.
No, it doesn't. It just mean like you think you're like more important than you actually are.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they thought that people thought that they were Napoleon.
Exactly.
That's so dumb.
And then Swami says, as gamma rays penetrate your brain, your memory will go centuries back to a previous life.
And he makes a really, really, really stupid looking face, Jimmy Olsen does.
So he gets all squinty. Now, of course, this is probably where Stan Lee got the idea by which gamma rays, affect people. Because, it's very common in the Marvel history. Like, pretty much everything
is because of gamma rays?
Right. Like, every Hulk villain has something
gamma rays.
To do with gamma rays.
Everything in the Hulk's just corner of the everything is...
The Hulk was gamma rays. The leader was gamma rays. The Abomination was gamma rays.
Everybody gamma rays.
The list just goes on and on. And supposedly...
Okay.
Supposedly, that was, that was a thing. That gamma rays affected everybody separately. And, but... What they actually did find out eventually is that, as it was put once, gamma rays don't make you green, they make you dead.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
If all these people are getting, mutated by gamma rays, why is no one trying to stop the gamma rays?
Well, they did. They didn't really use them. But, some people were like, okay, it's like the radioactive spider thing. It's like,
Yeah.
They don't, you don't try to make a spider radioactive to have it bite you.
It just happens.
It just happened. So the Hulk
just happened.
Do you know the story about how he's or
not really?
Basically, he was around a bomb that went off, a gamma bomb, and it exposed him, and then he got massive amounts of gamma radiation, and then
he turned big and green and not that bright.
Then he turned into the Hulk. So okay, but that's in this case, the
totally different universe.
In this case, the gamma rays pierce his brain, send him back in time,
to ancient Egypt.
So that's when he was working for the Weekly Hieroglyphic.
Which, no.
To track down Pyramid Petrus. Now, we all know that
also,
that has got to be an evil, an evil Egyptian, because he also has a name that has alliteration.
I have something to say.
Go ahead.
No.
No, it is. It's true.
Yes, but should I point out that this is also everybody there is white?
Well, yeah, of course.
And it's the names are ridiculous, and no.
Well, yes, of course, because... this is the 50s, and that's really all that existed. So he gets up to the temple, where he finds that Perius Petrus is hanging out.
Can I do the sound effect?
So, Jimmy Olsen, well, at this point, I don't know, is it, I guess it's Jimmy Olsen at the time.
It's Jimmy, but it's spelled differently.
It's spelled with an H, J-H-I-M-M-I-E. So, he takes out his secret signaling device. Now, in the modern times, of course, we all know that he has a little watch that he presses the button and Superman uh-huh. shows up. But in this case, he has a horn, and he uses his signal horn, and he blares it, and it goes...
Moo! Moo! Moo!
Exactly. It is a signal horn that, of course, is in a frequency that only Samson can hear.
I don't know!
So Samson shows up, and he destroys the temple. Just like that other Samson did in the Bible. So he goes. So I guess they find some stuff, and they're like, okay, there are two chests, and there's a note, of course, that is signed by Pyramid Petrus.
That is written in English, and like.
And once again, we see some of. I'm going to guess that this was actually written by
a person,
Ira Schnapp, who is listed as the letterer in this issue. And I think he's the one that writes all the great signs. The one that says, like, I am deaf and dumb. This robot is trained to smash your camera. And now this one is, if you open the wrong chest, a nest of poisonous serpents will spring forth. Which chest am I in? So they don't know which chest he is, so they...
You wait until they both run out of air.
Sure. But they decide that they're going to flip...
Logic dictates that the snakes would run out of air first, because there's more of them.
Or, why don't they just pick up both chests? Instead of that, they decide that they're going to flip a coin to know which one to open.
Because coins were a thing back then.
They were coins, sure. Little pieces of metal, that, you know, that was...
That's like, they didn't have, like, the heads and tail on them.
Anyway.
Weird. And then he wakes up.
He wakes up. He's like, oh! And Swami Rami's just like, hey!
With
He's
his like, ridiculously colored face.
And Jimmy says...
It's like green almost.
Jimmy's like, oh, then he's like, I gotta find out, like, what happened? Like, I missed what? Ah! So he's like, because he, like, ended at the cliffhanger, and so he's all excited about it. And then, so he's starting to believe that maybe he was born in a previous life. So he starts to ask, you know, Rama.
Did I do anything else?
And he's like, yeah. So he's like, I don't know. You probably, like, let's go in again. We go back to ancient Greece, where he was a Jimmius.
Who worked for Chief Whiteius.
Right.
In Rome.
And he's going to make an exciting scroll story. Ancient Greece, by the way.
Ancient Greece.
Right.
Sorry.
And so he goes to where there's a lion. So they find out that there's a lion reported in the hills.
And he goes to get his signal flute.
Right. So he makes his signal flute going...
To get Hercules.
That's right. So Hercules shows up.
Has he just never been capable of doing anything?
Apparently not. He has always... I guess, relied on the kindness of very large, strong, invulnerable men.
Yeah.
Jimmy has summoned Hercules.
To slay the lion.
To slay the lion.
And
where?
Is that supposed to be the Nemean lion or just a lion?
I think it just says giant lion. Now, Hercules then utters one of those phrases that in modern times would make just a lot of people snicker.
Don't.
Oh, okay. Oh, darn it. Okay, so it says, I'll subdue this pussycat for you, Jimmius. Now, when I first read this...
You skipped the word cat?
I thought it just said pussy.
You skipped the word cat.
So I was just like...
I knew you would do that.
I was just like...
I knew you would do that.
Is that really what he said? So then, of course, Jimmy is, he's like, oh, you're terrific, Hercules. I'll tie him up with these thongs.
Nope. Nope.
So, thongs.
Nope.
Thongs are a real thing. They're just like pieces of strips of leather. Just
I know, but
anyway.
But nope.
So they don't know. Once again, they are presented with the problem of they have two that they are lost in the passages, and that one leads to a bottomless pit, and the other leads to freedom. And they toss the coin, and once again he wakes up.
And then he goes to Viking times.
And then he looks at another life
where he's besties with Thor.
Yes.
And then they get sucked into a whirlpool, and they have to flip a coin.
So, Basically, so now we have three times when Jimmy Olsen
has to flip a coin.
He hangs out. We know that he's, like, with famous people from history, with famous strong people. And then they get to a moment where they have to flip a coin, whether it's either certain death or their freedom. And he's just left in the leech once again. In the last one, apparently, Swami Rama has turned absolutely green. And
his face changes color from orange to green.
Now,
and I have a really big problem with this.
Now, Jimmy is like, I wish I could know what happened. And so Swami tells him that his machine is
powered by radium.
It's powered by radium.
But only a small amount. And so if he had more, maybe Jimmy could finish his adventures. And so Jimmy brings it. And then Superman busts in and is like, nope.
So
Sorry, did you not want me to sum it up that much?
No, that's totally exactly what happens. He gets the radium, and then Superman runs in and
knocks his turban off. And so it's, just above his eyebrows is green face paint, and then he's a white dude with blonde hair.
Right.
I have a problem with this.
So, according to Superman, what's this guy's name? His name is, like, something illiterate, right?
I think so.
Oh, that's right. It's really Con Connors, right? And so it says...
Little on the nose.
And it says, get your hands off that contraption, Connors. It's a phony. In another one of those moments where I was like, is his name Contraption Connors? Which I think would be a way better name. But his name is Con Connors. And how he uses an old trick where his machines made a special record... hypnotic whispers that put you to sleep. And so it's with hypnotic suggestion.
And then Jimmy flips a coin.
Right. And so he knew, basically, it was done in such a way so that he ends up with all of that. Mm-hmm. And so Sal's everything, and the day is saved, of course, by Superman, and he brings Con Connors to the
jail.
To the jail.
And it is then explained afterwards, like just in the very end, that Connors tried that trick on Clark Kent last week, but Clark Kent knew it was phony because he's Kryptonian.
Right, because he's like, you have all these past lives. He's like, well, I know that I'm from another planet, so.
So what are you doing?
So stop it. So, okay, so now we have.
Which prize do you want?
Right. And they don't even really... Do they tell you what you're even supposed to be selling?
No.
Oh, Christmas cards.
Christmas cards. Okay.
People wanted to be peddling Christmas cards so hard.
Well, you can get a sleeping bag, a model plane, a rifle,
I love that
a bicycle,
sleeping bag.
Sleeping bag actually does look kind of cool.
I haven't seen hoods with sleeping bags with hoods on them in
but
a
it's
while.
Got
like a
this
little
stand-up thing that goes over it.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It's almost like a sleeping bag port. So
it looks kind of cool.
Then...
And it comes with a tent, too.
Perhaps we should, perhaps if you'd like.
I'm not selling Christmas cards.
All right, well, then that's your own problem.
I think this has expired, Dad.
So once again, now, Binky has returned. And it says, Binky shows how to spend a week. And so he's got a friend, Binky's got a buddy, who's named Pete, and...
Who's a pessimist.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do anything. He's like one of those guys.
He's a lazy teenager.
He's all ironic. He's one of those guys, he's too cool for school, man. And so Binky keeps going to different places. And he keeps going like, hey,
you
want to go
come.
To the soda shop? And he's like, nah, it's not worth it. And he's like,
they say this at the soda shop while they're enjoying drinks.
Gosh, Binky's fun. He's having fun at his part-time job. Maybe we could. And he's like, nah. And he's like, hey, Pete, coming with us? Nah. And he's like, hey, we could get a good book to read, huh? And he's like, nah. And so he's got this buddy who keeps suggesting things to Pete, and Pete keeps shooting him down. And then finally he says, gosh,
there's
no
nothing to do in this town.
Right, there's nothing to do in this town. Blah.
So, although, to be fair, I kind of am like that sometimes.
And then Binky says, don't be like Pete. There's summer fun in your own hometown. Look for it, and you'll find it. Published as a public service in cooperation with the National Social Welfare Assembly, coordinating organization to National Health, Welfare, and Recreation Agencies of the U.S.
Okay.
Guns! Now we have two...
And stamps.
That's right. We have 327 stamps of the world for only 25 cents.
Some of them are triangles.
Some of them are triangles.
I've never seen that before.
They're out there. That was something that was in vogue for a while.
What, triangle stamp?
Yep.
And then guns.
And then guns. Of course, they have the entire new...
The Daisy Eagle air rifle.
Like the whole air rifle collection.
With
the
scope.
You can get a scope, not a scope. The pump gun and the Red Ryder carbine.
Carbine. I don't know.
It's actually carbine. Anyway.
I don't speak gun.
So, you know, so those are two things that a child can purchase from a magazine, from a comic book. All right, so next we have Jimmy Olsen, Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. Can there be someone else as is vulnerable? No. Can there be someone else as invulnerable as Superman? Someone who laughs at bullets, fire, and all danger like the Man of Steel? Get ready for a big surprise, for it turns out to be someone you know well. Yes, it's none other than Jimmy Olsen, who amazingly becomes the Boy of Steel. Now we have this panel where Jimmy Olsen is standing with his hands in his pocket, and there are two guys
shooting
running out
at
of a
him.
Jewelry store, shooting at him, saying, and then Jimmy saying, "Catch these bullets bouncing off me, Superman. No sense in having all that ammunition go to waste." And then Superman saying, "Jimmy, this is fantastic. How did you become the Boy of Steel?" So then the opening thing, so Lois Lane is at the Daily Planet with Jimmy Olsen.
Spills scalding hot chocolate on him.
Right.
While he's typing up a story and he doesn't even notice it. So she does the logical thing and starts smacking him in the back of the head with different objects, including her shoe.
Right. No, first she tries to cut his hair.
Can't be cut.
Which doesn't happen. And then, yes, she decides
she takes her high heel off and smacks him with the bottom of the heel of it, which could be very damaging if her hypothesis is wrong.
So she smacks him in the head with her shoe.
And he's like, what are you doing?
He's like, hey, Lois.
Maybe don't do that.
He's like, I'd love to talk, but I have this thing to work on. So, and then who is smoking?
Some random guy. This is the 50s.
So then Lois goes to Clark and goes like, "Hey, Clark, it seems that Jimmy Olsen's invulnerable." And Clark's like, "That's impossible." He then hit his foot on the trash can, and the guy walks by and flicks a lit cigarette ash from his cigarette into the can, which lights on fire, and they finally put it out.
And Clark Kent is unharmed because he's Superman, but Lois doesn't know that.
Right. And so what they figure out, what Lois's hypothesis is...
space berries.
Right, that Jimmy has been given some space berries by Superman. And instead of, giving it to a scientist to analyze...
he eats it!
He decides, hey, I'll just give it to Jimmy Olsen, and Jimmy Olsen will just eat them. Because we don't really know what's gonna... and then I'll find out what these space berries will do to humans.
And shares them with his friend Clark Kent.
And so Lois gets this idea that it is the berries that are making him invulnerable. So she starts to eat them, thinking that she will then be invulnerable. But Clark's like, I'm not so sure. So as Superman, he goes out and he follows...
Jimmy Olsen around. Who gets hit by a car into a telephone into a lamppost, and the lamppost bends, and Jimmy screams, "Yay!"
No,
yee. Yee!
And then, of course, Supes shows up, he's late, but then Jimmy's like, don't worry, it's fine. So he jabs himself with a pen, nothing happens.
Pen, like, folds in half.
He throws bricks on his head. Happens.
He tries to saw his leg in half.
And he takes out a saw. And he tries to saw off his leg. And just as he's about to saw off his leg,
some random dudes start shooting at him.
Right. And now this is, one of those many, many jewelry, jewelry stores, because all the jewelry stores in Metropolis have terrible, terrible security.
Do you think it might be just the one door?
I hope not. No, I think...
just that one jewelry store that has no security whatsoever.
There's a wealth of scientists that are just, making weird things for people to...
like disintegrators.
Right, disintegrators, but also speed serums and time carpets and all that ridiculous stuff.
And fourth dimension portals.
Exactly. That there's just, jewelry stores, and when they open jewelry stores, they're like, do we need security? Nah, we don't need security. With Jimmy's newfound invulnerability, he goes out and he rescues somebody from a...
burning building.
A burning building.
And a cornice falls on his head.
As stated in the opening episode, or the opening of this issue. And so he just finds all these things that keep happening.
That test his invulnerability.
Right, and he keeps becoming invulnerable.
And so Clark Kent's walking with him, and he passes through a dark, shadowy spot, and he's glowing. People shouldn't be glowing.
No. So what he deduces is that...
it's from him flying Jimmy over a nuclear bomb test site.
Right.
So many things wrong with this.
Let me just say, ladies and gentlemen, if you are ever given the opportunity to be flown near a nuclear bomb test site,
don't do it.
Don't do it. It doesn't make you invulnerable. It doesn't make you glow in the dark.
It does make you dead.
Right. Much like gamma rays, it just makes you dead.
Unless so, you're Jimmy Olsen.
But at this point, Clark checks it out and he finds out, hey, my theory has been checked with scientific fact. So,
fictional 1950s scientific fact.
In the world of
Superman.
In the world of Superman, all you need to be is exposed to radiation in the right way and you become invulnerable for 24 hours.
Yeah, the effects wear off.
But as we all know,
but Lois is eating space berries.
Lois decides that it's the space berries, and so she starts eating them and is like, "Okay, I'm going to be invulnerable. Here I am, invulnerable."
And so she tries to stick her hand with a pin.
And
Clark bends the pin with his X-ray vision because he doesn't want to go super.
Right.
And she goes out into the world to be invulnerable.
As is Jimmy. And so Clark is left with Superman is left with the problem of what if they run into danger at the same time? So
you're Superman, you can cross the town in 0.5 seconds, you're fine.
Not even 0.5 seconds, less than that. Remember, he can travel at the speed of light.
So he's fine.
So he'll, So basically something happens and there is a, what is that? That's a truck of explosives. Why is there a truck of explosives?
And it's on fire. It's a flaming explosives truck.
Lois and Jimmy both decide that they're going to try to like come in and
they're going to show off.
Rescue? I don't know. Are people even in there?
They're going to show off.
Right. They're just going to show off. And so
Superman comes in, scoops them both up, and flies them out of there.
Right.
Just as it goes, vroom!
And, of course, Jimmy and Lois are like, "You ruined everything!"
And he's like, it wore off. I'll step on both of your toes.
Right. So he steps on their toes and realizes that they're not invulnerable. And so they're like, "Oh, I guess we aren't invulnerable anymore." And
Lois is like, "Stupid me for eating the last of the space berries."
Right. I'm just a girl. Clark is thinking, thank heaven that there will just be the Man of Steel, as always. The end. Then we have Wild Root Cream Oil.
I don't get this cartoon that goes with it.
Nothing scares that Sneedly. I guess a bunch of people who are out and they see they're either aliens or ghosts or something. Then Sneedly is not scared because he uses
Wild Root Cream Oil.
Wild Root Cream Oil, much like Felis Fosdyke. And then we have a story
about World War II.
About World War II and U-boats, and how a French resistance fighter helped with the D-Day invasion.
Okay, then.
And now there is
5,000 prizes.
5,000 winners. Giant DC slogan contest. So here are some things to get you going. I buy when I see DC. DC comics are decent comics. Your reading key is the symbol DC. Do you have anything you can come off the top of your head is with you to think of?
Da 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 Batman. Nope.
Da 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 da. It's kind of hard to spell.
Da 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 Batman.
Not so sure. Maybe we'll workshop
it. What are your ideas? Since you've already said you have 5.
Let's see. I see DC. And I'm out of my tree.
No.
DC is the only comics books for me.
Better than tree.
I like DC, just like the bassist of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Flea.
I don't even... Are you okay? Are you thinking to answer the question, or are you thinking of another slogan?
DC charges a very reasonable fee for their comics.
Fee, .. in smaller font, for their comics.
Right. DC is the only comic book company for me. Marvel is stinky. We'll workshop it. All right, so I think that was 5.
Probably.
So, Jimmy Olsen, Varsity Vic. Varsity Vic rings the doorbell, and then a little boy answers the phone, and by the phone I mean the door. And apparently this boy is named Timmy, because Varsity Vic knows him and says, "Hello, Timmy, is your sister expecting me?" And the boy says, "She sure is." And Varsity Vic says, "She is? How do you know?" And the little boy says, because she hoed up and went out.
Must really hate Varsity Vic, but wants to not hurt his feelings.
All children have lisp. So, you know, of course, she wanted to get away before Vic was there. And now we have a
Palisades Amusement Park coupon.
Palisades Amusement Park in New Jersey. I know that that's still around. If someone could please try to clip this out and try to use it as an admission and let us know how it goes, that'd be great. Maybe next time I'm in New Jersey, then I'll try to see.
Then you'll see if it's still valid.
Right. All right. So we then bring us to our last story. And our last story, we see, you all know how truth serum compels criminals to speak the truth.
Does it?
Shh. We're going to discuss this afterwards. You all know how truth serum compels criminals to speak the truth. But quite the opposite happens one day to our cub reporter, Jimmy Olsen, when he tries to protect Superman's secret identity. But Jimmy hardly knows what he is getting himself in for when he takes an amazing lie serum and becomes the super liar of Metropolis. And so, in our scene, we see Superman, he's going out the window, and Jimmy Olsen is pointing something out of his window and saying, "Hurry, Superman! Somebody just
phoned in that the Metropolis warehouse is on fire."
Because there is only one warehouse in Metropolis. And, Superman says, "Odd, I didn't see any smoke, but Jimmy wouldn't deliberately send me on a wild goose chase."
Or would he?
But that's because...
Dun, dun, dun!
That's because he's got the lie serum. Now, of course, the first thing that we all have to, discuss is that there is no such thing as truth serum.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, there was like a sodium pentothal. That was what they used to call it. And I guess what it does is it sort of makes you tired and susceptible to questioning, but still...
You can still lie if you need to.
Exactly. Like, if you know how to beat it, you can beat it. And, you know, you could just be rambling. So, this is all based on kind of nonsense. But the idea of truth serum is just one of those things that persisted forever.
Yeah, they still use it and stuff today.
Right. And so they have, Jimmy is out and about.
Buying what looks like baked goods?
No, he just wanted a piece of candy.
Oh.
It says, "Hey, I just wanted a piece of candy." And then he hears a guy in a phone booth
talking about how he's going to kidnap Jimmy Olsen and question him about Superman's secret identity.
Right, and set him up with a lie detector.
So Jimmy does the logical thing.
Well, okay, so first of all, Jimmy...
The very convenient and logical thing.
Well, the first thing is, Jimmy doesn't know what Superman's secret identity is.
So he would be able to stand up to a lie detector test.
Exactly, even if they did kidnap him and hook him up to a lie detector...
They'd be like, okay, who's Superman? What is Superman's secret identity?
Right. So he's like, anyway, I don't know Superman's other identity, but will they believe me? They'll know that I'm his pal. They'll grill me unless he does something. So he figures out...
Go into hiding.
That Superman, not too long ago...
you have a superpowered friend who could take you, like, 2-3 states away.
Found a random crook...
In almost no time.
Found a random crook who had a lie serum. Now, they don't say who this guy is. They don't say where he got this lie serum from. We don't even know that, like, lie serum is a thing.
All we know is he chugs it.
Right. And it just says lie serum. Like, it let it last 3 hours. Which is, you know, insane. But he's like, all right, I guess I will take it. And then...
He starts lying all over the place.
So he, you know, as a reporter, the truth is supposed to be a big, important thing. And,
When Perry asks him if the article he wrote is any good...
He says no.
And so he has to write a new one.
And then Lois comes in with a ticket to the ball game, and he says he doesn't want it. And then somebody asks him...
And then a famous Hollywood actress asks him to be her escort around Metropolis while she's in town for a few days.
And he says, I don't want it. No, he says, what does he say? No, I'm not. We would be like Beauty and the Beast together.
Oh, yeah, they said he was handsome.
Right. Then pay me to haunt houses. And then she says, "Gracious, you're horrible. Goodbye."
So he's horrible. Goodbye.
Right, because it's it's Kitty DeVoe is the movie star.
Was that an actual person?
No. Okay. So Superman then shows up, and Jimmy just starts lying to him, and he says, "Like, hey."
And he tries to like cover his mouth. Like that's how bad it gets.
"Come back, Jimmy. You look disturbed. Are you in trouble?" And he's like, "No, Superman. I haven't a care in the world." So he then decides that he's not going to lie, and then suddenly he proclaims that the Midtown Bridge is collapsing, as opposed to the Metropolis warehouse.
Well, that's just so completely random.
And So he goes to the thing and he sees that there's nothing wrong in the bridge.
Except this guy just fell off
right,
of it.
Right, he just happened to be falling off the place.
So he saves the guy.
So then he comes out, and then Jimmy comes out of the Daily Planet where the
mysterious
criminal,
dude in purple suit and fedora.
Right, and he's like, the guy's like, hey, you're Jimmy Olsen, right? And then as a callback to the previous first story, he's like, no, I'm Napoleon.
Does he actually say that?
Yeah, see? No, I'm Napoleon, see? Otto Binder must have had Napoleon on the brain at that particular moment.
I have a thing that I'd like to point out.
What?
This dude is wearing the exact same suit as the bad guy in the first story.
Well, yeah, that's a very popular color among criminals. Like, you know, it's Joker purple.
It's not Joker purple,
but
though.
It's like Joker.
It's
you know,
slightly pinker than Joker purple.
But it's very pink.
With, like, a yellowish-greenish spotted tie.
It's his own take.
And a blue headpiece.
All the criminals in Metropolis are wearing this one now, these days.
Well, then you can spot criminals immediately. Just arrest all of them.
Well, they can't say no because of the presumption of innocence. Anyway. So they take him back to the they hook him up to the lie detector and
they ask him who Superman is immediately. They don't take any tests to see what's going on first. They're just like, okay, who's Superman?
And then he says, Clark Kent.
Because no one would suspect Clark Kent, mild mannered reporter for the Daily Planet newspaper.
Although, really, doesn't Lois Lane, like, all the time suspect Clark Kent?
Yeah, the entire time she's just like, Are you Superman? Like, this kind of proves it, but it also kind of doesn't.
Right. And, of course, he proclaims that he's telling the truth because you can't fool the machine. But as we all know,
you can
fool the machine. Happens all the time.
Tons of people.
That is why it is inadmissible in court for various reasons, among that being...
It's bunk.
It's just... Well, it's not necessarily bunk, but it's definitely not as reliable as they would have you believe. So, the criminals come in and they decide that they're going to,
shoot Clark Kent.
Right. They're going to shoot Clark Kent. And they're going to prove that that's how he's going to be. He's going to be Superman because they're going to shoot him and, they're going to bounce off him. And then that's that. But he, Clark shorts the electrical cord and then,
the room fills with smoke.
Right. So they can't see anything. And then Jimmy comes in and
throws a book at him.
Literally throws a book. It hits him with a big world atlas. And then
explains that he had a lie serum.
Exactly. They're like, and then of course, as they're carrying him out, there's like, he can't possibly be Superman. No weakling like him could be Superman.
It's like Peter Parker pretending to be uncoordinated.
Right. So, you know, of course, Jimmy throws away the lie serum, you know, instead of like, I don't know, maybe giving it to a scientist or something, or the government. So then, so he's like, oh, I'm done with that. And yet another scientific innovation has been wasted by Jimmy Olsen. Do you know how many, if you look at the, like...
So
like
many.
One of the major things is like, here's this like thing that's revolutionary that and, Jimmy Olsen stumbles into.
And you're going to either break it or use the last of it.
Right. But then, of course, we don't know, because we don't know anything about this lie serum, we don't know who made it. We don't know if there's any more of it. So, you know, it either will come back or not. Anyway, so now we have our last little bits. The first one being the Disneyland color television set.
So I don't know what this is, because it can't be an actual television for only $1.
It is not.
Okay, then what is it?
It is a little plastic box.
Okay.
I think it has a light in it.
Okay.
And it shows, like, see these two knobs on
those
the side?
Those little, like, reels of film or something?
I think it's basically like a film strip.
That's
and it just
cute.
shows five. See, it shows, it's complete with 8 rolls of color film. And you can see Mickey Mouse in Disneyland, Mickey Mouse in Adventureland, Peter Pan in Fantasyland, Goofy in Frontierland, and Donald Duck in Tomorrowland, where you will see Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, Peter Pan, and...
Davy Crockett.
Davy Crockett, who we don't see anymore.
I don't.
He's just not... Nobody cares about Davy Crockett anymore.
Yet everyone can sing those, like, 2 lines of the theme song.
It's true. So, then... We have...
They're going to pay me to wear a dress.
That's right. If you get a stunning 1098 dress without paying 1 cent, will you wear and show it in your community? And of course, young boys from all over America...
Would love to wear these stunning...
Love to wear these dresses!
These $10.98 lovely dresses.
For only children know that gender is a construct. And as is, you know, who wears dresses and who wears pants?
I mean, I wear both, so...
It's true. you can wear pretty frocks. And so basically you get paid to wear a dress that costs $10.98, which, as we all know, is worth like, you know, $530,000 in American.
Probably more like $50.
It's a lot. Well, you know, it's not inexpensive, I guess. I don't know. So then once again, we have Stevens credit sales.
I'd love to get paid to wear 950s.
Well, if anyone out there has a 1950s dress that my daughter can would like to wear.
And you are willing to pay me to do so, or not.
Otherpalspod@gmail.com.
Okay.
And give us the details.
Okay.
So then we have Stevens credit sales.
Religious mottos.
No, still no patriotic ones.
At least not on the ad.
But you know, no money, just sell them. They must be making a ton of money.
You get 10%.
And then finally, another new
Nutty Putty.
Nutty Putty.
Is that what Silly Putty?
It seems that way, because it says bounce it, hit it, mold it, stretch it, and it does all this stuff. And it comes in what looks like
an egg.
I thought that was a clam.
It could be a clam. It could also be an egg.
Well, that becomes, it's what became Silly Putty. Now, Silly Putty actually was one of those things that was a result of like an accident of some kind during a military experiment. It was they combined two chemicals. And they were fairly, I think one of them was like alcohol. I don't know what the other one is.
Alcohol and like some sort of glue, I think.
And then it became this Nutty Putty stuff.
And they were like, we can sell this.
Right. And so it bounces, it rolls it, and do you know about the transferring of newspaper?
Oh, yeah.
But because, you know, nobody...
Like newsprint, you take it and you stamp it, and then you stamp it on another thing.
Nobody, since nobody has newspapers anymore, it's not really something that Silly Putty talks about, but yeah.
Newsprint.
Right. So it actually will it's copy... They wanted you to copy comics all the time with the Silly Putty.
It was advertised as a new scientific toy.
Right.
With a money-back guarantee.
And it comes in a leak-proof plastic egg, although it does look... Does that not look like a...
It does look like a clamshell, especially like the way they have it opened and like the shiny lines around it.
You're just expecting inside to be a little pearl.
Yeah, but there isn't. It's a mound of yellowish putty.
It's a liquid solid. Roll it into a ball, it bounces. Hit it with a hammer, it shatters.
What?
It shatters?
It does?
I don't know. Press it on a comic book and it steals a perfect impression in color. Leave it alone and it sinks into a tired little puddle. Oh, this must be like an earlier version of Nutty Putty.
This is like Gak.
Before it was, yeah, but you can't, if you hit Gak with a hammer, does it?
Yeah, shatter? Yeah. Like if you roll it in, like, I don't know how to describe it exactly, but like you mix it up and then like you can make it like a liquid. And if you just leave it alone, it is a liquid. But if you hit it with like a lot of force and over like a small surface area, it will break or like compact at the very least.
Can you make newspapers? Can you copy newspaper comics?
No.
Have you tried?
That would be catastrophic.
Maybe we'll have to buy some Gak.
All right. You don't buy Gak.
Gak buys you.
No, you make Gak, Dad.
Okay. So that brings us to yet another episode, to the end of issue 16 and the end of this episode of Superman's Other Pals.
All right, then.
Let's see.
Apparently, we're going to possibly have a contest of some sort.
Right. Tune in next week for the details on the DC slogan contest. DC slogan contest? Sure. Let's see. All the basic stuff. We would like to thank the Spin Doctors once again for not suing us or sending any cease and desist orders with us.
Yep.
If you would like to contact us, we are at otherpalspod@gmail.com. You can see us on Instagram @otherpalspod, on Twitter @otherpalspod, and find us on Facebook on Superman's Other Pals or at Facebook/OtherPalsPod. Let's see. If you have a moment, you can find us on all the appropriate podcast catchers. If you enjoy our show and would like others to enjoy In the Revelry, please let them know.
Would be much appreciated.
And if you have a moment, if you could write a review in the iTunes.
5-star review.
Also lovely. My daughter has now just put on her best cute voice. I can get you to do it, so listen to her once again.
5-star review would be great.
See? Not great. Now you want to just go out and open up your iTunes, don't you?
Not my best cute voice, no.
How about this? Okay. Please, mister.
Oh, God.
Please write us a 5-star review.
I don't talk like that.
No, I didn't say it was you. All
right. Yes, but you've used it to mimic me before.
So, I guess, is that everything? Do you have anything else that you want to say?
Support your local roller derby.
Okay, support your local roller derby. Until next time, this is Gary Roland.
This is Ella Plum Roland.
And we will say Superman away!
Away!